All right, Mason in Ireland. 2 hours down, one more to go. Ramona's in for Mace. And yesterday was Jackie Robinson Day. Baseball celebrates every year on April 15th, tax day, the anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 1950s. And a lot of younger people don't know the background story on Jackie Robinson. And Ramona, the best way to learn about Jackie is to watch the movie 42, which is incredibly well done. The late, great Chadwick Boseman plays Jackie. Harrison Ford, known to most of you as Han Solo from the early Star Wars movies, plays Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Dodgers, who's the guy who signed Robinson. And it will paint a unique picture of what it was like for him to try and basically break the color barrier in a racist country in the 1950s. But because yesterday was Jackie Robinson Day, Momo, there is a video making the rounds of a time when David Letterman had one of the great stars of the Negro Leagues, Buck O'Neill, on his show back in the day. And he was talking to Buck about Jackie Robinson and when Jackie joined the all-black team that Buck had been on for 20 years. And I'll let you hear the story. And the next time somebody asks you why everybody wears the number 42 on April 15th, just play him this clip. Listen to this.
Did you, tell us about Jackie Robinson.
Ooh, outstanding individual. And Jackie was so different than we were because we were acclimated to segregation. But not Jackie. Jackie came to the Monarchs in 1945. We've been going to a filling station in Oklahoma for 20 years, the Monarchs. We'd never gone to the restroom because on the door it said for white men only. So Jackie's there, and we go to the, we played that night in this town, and the next day we go to the filling station to get some gas. The man put the hose in the tank, said, "Oh, you boys were wonderful as usual." They filled the park up. "Good to see you." Jackie got off the bus, started walking to the restroom. He said, "Boy, where you going?" "Say, I'm going to the restroom." "Say, boy, you know you can't go to that restroom." Jackie said, "Take the hose out the tank." Now the man thought then, because we got a 50-gallon tank on this side. We got a 50-gallon tank on that other side. He's not going to sell that much gas, you know, to one customer until we got back there again. You know what he said? "You boys can go to the restroom, but don't stay long."
Comes down to economics a lot of times, doesn't it?
Of course. But the gist of that story is this. From that day on, we never got gas at the station. We couldn't go to the restroom. Yeah. We never played in a town that they didn't have a place for us to stay and to eat. Jackie said, "Listen, you're playing, you're making money for these people. This is a capitalistic society. You don't have to take these things." Thank you, Jackie.
Isn't that amazing, Ramona, that he basically forced these people, in this case in Oklahoma, to say, "You're going to treat us better, or we're not going to perform for you or patronize your gas station or anything else." All this gets covered in the movie 42. And let me make a correction. Buck O'Neill was talking about when Jackie played for the Kansas City Monarchs, which was in 1945. He broke the color barrier with the Dodgers in 1947 when he was playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He actually never played in Los Angeles. He only played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. But that's why all of a sudden the game changed. Jackie Robinson almost single-handedly introduced black players to baseball. He put up with a ton of racist crap. But once he made the Dodgers and was such a great player, that opened the door for a bunch of other black players, and it changed the game forever.
You know, I always think about this with huge historical moments and figures that, you know, we wonder why we have a Jackie Robinson Day, why every player wears 42 on the day. This is why. Like, so that we have a reason to talk about him, to share his story, to play that kind of clip right there, because it's amazing to me, John, how like younger people don't necessarily know. We just assume they do, that they get that education in school or they're students of the game. But I mean, I was watching the Dodger game the other day, and like there are players who were born in the mid 90s playing on the field now. Like back when you and I, like when I started high school, they were born then.
Well,
they're
Ramona,
so young.
There's players in the NBA that were born in the 2000s.
Oh,
You know, there's 20-year-old players, you know, Taylor Horton Tucker was born in 2000.
How are they going to know? How are they going to know if we don't talk about it, if you don't share those? That's why you make movies like 42, so that everybody can go see it and they can get caught up. And I think it's so important right now to make sure that the history of the game is understood, because if you don't make sure, like, we just did a whole segment on conspiracy theories. It's so easy to just write that stuff off and rewrite history and not know it, especially now on the internet where anybody can make a video about anything. No, this was really bad. And, like, you know, Don Newcomb was around up until, I think he passed last year.
He passed away recently, yeah.
And he would always have stories
really
like that.
Really good guy.
You know, and like, you need to hear those stories for yourself. Otherwise, when that generation is gone, like, people just, they don't hear them anymore. And it makes it easier for people to forget how things were.
Have you ever had a chance to interview Rachel Robinson?
Yes.
I think that we had her on the old show when Mason and I were doing TV at Fox. I don't think I've ever met a more impressive person.
Seriously.
She was, you know, Jackie caught cancer and died away. Rachel was born in 1922. She's still alive. She's 98 years old and just sharp as a tack. You know, Jackie died in 1972.
Wow.
She lost her husband in 1972. And Rachel has been like a great kind of caretaker of his legacy. And when you meet her and talk to her and realize that it took a special couple to be able to kind of carry the torch to break the color barrier in baseball. They had to be like, you, when you're around her, she's very impressive and very stoic at the same time. And she's friendly and she's nice and she's funny. But you meet her and you go, oh, now I see why we have, you know, why these two were able to do it. Because they, I mean, just a super impressive person. So, again, I would encourage people to watch the movie 42, which is incredibly well done. Every year I give this speech on or around April 15th. But if you want to teach your kids, or if you've never seen it yourself, what it was like when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier for the Dodgers, that's the way to play it. Go see the movie 42. And if you ever get a chance, Rachel won't be with us much longer. She's 98 now, but if you ever get a chance to meet her,
presidential talk, almost, yeah, right? You know, I feel like she's, you know, a Michelle Obama type. Like, she's just so elegant, regal, but also so smart and empathetic. Like, she really has seen a lot and done a lot in her life and has incredible perspective on things.
Okay, so I'm going to change gears here. Ramona, our impossible hypothetical yesterday garnered a bigger reaction on social media than anything I think we've ever done. It was a simple question, and the only precursor to it was, you can't duck it, all right? You have to take a side. If you answer with neither, or I would never do that, or then you're out of the game. It's the reason it's an impossible hypothetical is that you have to pick one. It's in essence a sports Sophie's choice. So the question was this. If, God forbid, the Clippers and the Celtics met in the NBA Finals, who would you root for? And the reactions were swift. I don't know if you were getting the same ones I did, but most people, even with the precursor that you have to pick a side, wouldn't do it. They were like offended by the nature of the question. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't pick a side. But we made everybody that works with us pick a side. And Ramona, for you, it was easy. You said you'd vote for the Clippers because it's an LA thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that to me is like, this is L.A. This is another L.A. team. And, you know, if you're a real Laker fan, you probably are not rooting for the Clippers. But they're not a threat to the Lakers. The Lakers have 17 championships. The Celtics have 17 championships. You don't want your rival to get 18 before you do. So, like, be happy for the other L.A. team. Come on.
It's I sided with you. I thought Dr. Buss taught me anybody but the Celtics.
Yeah.
That the Celtics are the Lakers' legitimate rival. And you can't, if you're a Laker fan, root for the Celtics under any condition. I don't care that you would have to be rooting for the Clippers. You can't root for the Celtics. Michael Thompson had the exact opposite viewpoint. His viewpoint was he would root for the Celtics because if they won, all their fans are 2,500 miles away and you wouldn't have to hear it. But if the Clippers won, he would have to hear from people like Clipper Darryl every single day in his own backyard. So Michael would root for the Celtics. Now, the biggest Laker fan we know is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
I heard from him, by the way.
I did, too. So I'm sure he told us the same thing. I said, hey, Shea, God forbid, but if the Clippers met the Celtics in the finals and you had to pick a side, you can't duck it, who should a Lakers fan root for? And here was his response. Can't see myself cheering for Boston ever. That finals matchup would be a tough pill to swallow, but the bright side is we as Laker fans get to make fun of the loser. Lakers in five. So even Shea said he would reluctantly go with us. Go to the Clippers. But Ramona, the response I got, and I'm still getting to this, is insane. People were like, they couldn't understand the other side. In other words, if they felt strongly that you should root for the Clippers, they couldn't understand anybody who would root for the Celtics and vice versa. Did you get the same thing?
Yeah, you know, everybody just did this cop out, like, oh, that would never happen.
Yeah, as soon as I saw a cop out, like that you're not picking a side, you are out. Delete.
Yeah, I mean, look, let me. He actually wrote me something a little different. I'll tell you what he wrote me. Okay. He said, "We are friends. Why would you try to bring me down like this?" And the answer is, I don't watch.
Yeah, but I made him. I put "had" in all capital letters. But I mean, like my friend Ellie, if the Celtics were to play the Clippers in the finals, I would go into mourning. Another guy, Jeff. Trick question. Neither. It would be. I mean, most people just had a true Lakers fan will always root against Boston.
But Michael Thompson is a true Laker and a true Lakers fan. And he says, no, you can't root. He'd rather root for he'd rather Boston win it because then if they won, he wouldn't have to hear them every day because they're 3,000 miles away.
Chris Galletti, I'm with Michael. The Clippers have never won anything. I want to keep it that way. Their misery is more entertaining.
That sounds like what Charles Barkley said about it.
The Clippers have always sucked.
You guys are mean, man. Do you see, John, you and I, we're just more positive people. We want everyone to succeed. And so, like, I don't get off on other people being miserable. Do you? Like,
no.
I just want everybody to succeed. I want to succeed myself, okay? Right. I want my life and my career to go well, but I don't need other people to suffer. Do you need other people to suffer to feel good? Oh, man.
Like, by the way, like tonight, the Clippers have a huge game, right? When we get off the air, they play at Philadelphia. All right. Because the Clippers are in the West, I'm rooting for Philly because I only care about the standings in the West and I, you know, want the Lakers to have the best position that they had. But if those teams met in the finals, I would probably root for Philly. But I can't root for Boston under any condition.
You can put
any precursor on it. I learned from Dr. Buss, anybody but the Celtics. You can't, if you're a Laker fan, ever root for the Celtics. I know it. You would have to hold your nose and swallow rooting for the Clippers. But you can't. You cannot root for Boston. If you want to argue with us, 888, it seems to me that you can't root. 877-710-ESPN. If you have a different viewpoint on this, 877-710-ESPN. But I just don't see how you could possibly, under any condition, root for the Celtics. By the way, bottom of the hour, we'll try and check in with my buddy David Locke. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Utah Jazz. If you missed it, Donovan Mitchell sprained his ankle. Looked like it was pretty bad. And he's very questionable for these two games against the Lakers this weekend. They play tomorrow at Staples Center at 1:30. They play Monday at Staples Center at 7 o'clock. So we'll check in on that. Still have games to come this hour. And then we'll hand it over to Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. A couple of notes for you here. A huge showdown, Dodgers-Padres this weekend. Ramona, it just came down. As expected, Fernando Tatis, the best player on the Padres, has been activated off the injured list and will start against the Dodgers tonight. The Dodgers are pitching their three best pitchers, Walker Buehler tonight, Clayton Kershaw tomorrow, Trevor Bauer on Sunday. Figures to be a huge series, and now we know Fernando Tatis is in. So
yeah, that's awesome. To me, the Tatis injury, I thought when I first saw it, John, I was like, oh man, he just signed that massive contract. Now he's going to be out. It looked like a season-ending kind of injury when you hear. Like a dislocated shoulder, right? I mean, that doesn't sound good, but apparently it wasn't as bad as it could have been, and they're confident he's okay to keep playing. But he took a massive cut there, and you always worry about how that's going to affect somebody's power, how that's going to affect somebody long term, because he takes a pretty healthy cut at the plate when he swings,
to say the least. That's one thing. And then the other thing we're kind of wrapping up is we did a bit yesterday. We called an impossible hypothetical where you have to answer it. You can't duck it. A lot of people tried to duck it anyway, and that ruins the bit. But if you had to pick, if somehow, God forbid, the Clippers and the Celtics ended up in the finals, who would you root for? And you have to pick a side. Ramona, we've never gotten a social media reaction like this before to anything. You know, it was just massive people saying, oh, you can't ever root for the Celtics, and the other side saying you can't ever root for the Clippers. Here's Paul in Studio City. Paul, if you were in that box, we forced you as a Laker fan to pick, who would you pick?
Yeah, so if the Clippers won a title, I would just give them a light applause and say, yeah, I remember my first beer. But if the Celtics, you know, we have a generational rivalry tied at, what, 17 now, 18, where it's no question we cannot root for the Celtics ever. And I'll give you a small anecdote. I actually, before the bubble happened, I was a server in a restaurant. I served the Celtics, and I served the owner of the Celtics. And I told him, whenever he paid the bill, because he said he wanted to pay for the players, I was like, here you go. And I said, you know, I hope you make it to the finals so that you lose to the Lakers in the finals. So it's even that more sweet. And, you know, he told me to sell his tequila because Jeannie and him are both in on it.
Yeah, Wick Grossman.
And I was like, that hurts.
Yeah, that's Sincoro tequila. It's pretty good. You should try it. Thanks, Paul, for the phone call. Yeah, Jeannie's involved with that. Michael Jordan's involved with that, too. That's a really good tequila, by the way. Here's Dan in Las Vegas. Dan, are you a Laker fan?
In the words of O'Shea Jackson Jr., I have gold bones and purple blood, sir.
Amen. Okay, so we put you in that box. You have to root for either the Clippers or the Celtics in an NBA Finals that we all would hate. Which way are you going?
It's very easy. I'd root for the Celtics. I do not recognize the Clippers' right to exist. They're not an NBA team, in my opinion. I love this rivalry. Well, I'm 33 years old. My first experience with the Celtics was in 2008, and that really bothered me. And I agree with Paul. It's not acceptable to me until Celtics fans watch the Celtics lose to the Los Angeles Lakers on that godforsaken parquet floor.
Interesting. You would root for the Celtics?
Yes, because I love that rivalry. I want to keep it going. I don't care about the Clippers. They're nobody. and let's keep the chase going.
Okay.
I don't want, and it's just like Michael said yesterday, who wants to hear these annoying Clippers fans? Thank all four of you for watching.
Thanks, Dan, for the phone call. Ken, on line four. Hey, Ken, are you a Laker fan?
Yeah.
All right, so if that scenario played out, Clippers-Celtics in the finals, and you had to pick one, who are you rooting for?
Well, can I ask you, were you rooting for Shaq when he played for the Celtics?
Oh, good question.
I like Shaq personally, but I would never root for the Celtics to win in a game like
if he was on the team when they were in the finals, I might be rooting for him then. I mean, for God's sake, he is part owner in the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
How did that happen? We're talking about loyalty here, right?
Right, because Shaq is about the bottom line, man. He's like the world's greatest businessman.
He really is.
But I agree with
the previous caller. You want the rivalry, right? If the Celtics, you know, dropped off after 10, championships, and we wouldn't have this awesome rivalry, I think the NBA would be a lot more boring than it is now. So I say you root for them.
Even though it would give them one more than the Lakers?
Yeah, because then we have all the more motivation to go after it.
You know what's funny, though? I feel like people forget how nasty the Celtics and their fans were to the Lakers in the finals. Like, I was in Boston. John, you were there, right? You were in Boston in 2008?
Yep.
Do you know what happened to the Laker bus after that game?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, like, Phil Jackson said afterwards, he basically said that was one of the scarier moments he's had in the NBA. I mean, the players who were sitting on that bus as the Boston fans circled the bus afterwards and were, like, rocking it back and forth. That was scary.
Well, part of the reason is, you know, I don't think a lot of people know this, is the finals games all start at roughly 6 o'clock L.A. time.
Yeah.
6 o'clock Western, which is 9 o'clock in Boston.
Oh, and where late.
And where the TD North Garden is, and the old Boston Garden was there too, is right across the street from a whole bunch of bars.
Yeah.
So what happens is those guys start packing the bars at 5 or 6 o'clock for happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting hammered.
It's sloppy by the time the game's over.
And then when they walk in at 8:30, 8:45 for the 9 o'clock tip, there's a lot of venom, you know?
Yeah,
and
a lot of those fans, honestly, were not inside the game.
Right.
They were waiting for their moment for the Lakers to leave the arena, and it's like, you won. You don't need to like harass the team that just lost. You don't need to like. They were rocking the bus back and forth, and if you want to go even further back, let's go back to the '80s when they would like call the Lakers' rooms in the middle of the night and wake everybody
up.
Pull the fire alarm. I mean, there was. Have we forgotten Kevin McHale's clothesline? Have we forgotten that?
Yeah, I think Dr. Buss sums this up in one sentence. Four words. Anybody but the Celtics. You can root for anybody but the Celtics. By the way, this is a good game.
It is. In
about 45 minutes. Clippers at Sixers. Clippers have won 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to play for Philly. How do you see that going?
Well, I think Philly's going to win this because I think Paul George and Kawhi are questionable. I was just looking at some of the homes.
Again?
I know.
What is wrong with this league?
I know. But they,
can you imagine Kobe Bryant in a nationally televised game against the top seed in the East saying, yeah, I think
okay.
I'll sit this
so
one out.
So Ty Lue has said, I'm looking at Om Young Music's tweets. Ty Lue says Kawhi Leonard foot injury is out tonight.
Oh, man.
Paul George's status is up in the air and is a game time decision for tonight against Philadelphia due to feeling under the weather. He said George did not go through the morning shoot around.
What in the world?
I know.
I mean, we devalue the regular season in this league left, right, and sideways.
Yeah.
The problem is it's a copycat league.
Mm-hmm.
So if two players sit out the night before, then the next night a coach goes, well, if they're not going to play their stars, I'm not going to play mine.
Yeah. I mean, they have an organizational philosophy and to just be ready for the playoffs. And I get it. For Paul George, like, you know, when you have a legitimate injury, like this one says he's under the weather. He's been playing through a bad foot injury this whole time. And I think he's played more games than he would have played last year. Like he has made a point of playing more this year, just from everything that happened to him last year. And he's talked about this a lot. So I'm going to cut him some slack here. If he's sick, he's sick. Let's see if he actually plays. He might. Kawhi Leonard's out. Kawhi, you're never going to change that. Like, if he's got an injury, he's not going to play. He's going to rest on the second night of back to back. He's occasionally Kawhi will surprise you and play one that you think he's going to rest. But this is something for him that it goes all the way back to that thigh injury in San Antonio, where he felt like he tried to play through it and it really hurt him. And I don't think he's ever going to do that again.
Too bad.
I know.
I was looking forward to watching some of that.
Yeah, it'll probably still be a good game. You know?
Well, not if Kawhi doesn't play.
No, well, not as good as it should be.
And by the way, the Sixers caught a huge... This was going to be a really hard week for them. They had Brooklyn the other night, and then Brooklyn took all their stars off the board, and now the Clippers are doing the same thing. It is what it is. All right, the latest on the Lakers, who are getting ready to take on Utah both Saturday and Monday. We'll get into that next. Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. Game of Games coming up in about 10 minutes. We've had a different Game of Games winner every day this week. Ramona won once, Michael won once, Jorge won once, and I've won once. If Lindsay wins today, and it's my game, it'll be the first time ever we've had five different winners in the same week.
All right.
So I'm rooting for Lindsay today. But that's coming up in
you
about
10
minutes.
You did kind of throw that one to me. I
did. Well, Michael did technically screw up. all right, a couple things I want to get to before we get to Game of Games. First of all, Lakers welcomed fans back to the building last night. Ramona and I were both there. It was different. There were only about 2,000 fans there, but it was different in a good way, better. The fans that were there seemed to follow all the rules.
Pretty good. There was still some people who took their masks off when they wanted to have a drink at their seat or something, but that's about it.
Right. And here's Frank Vogel after the game talking about fans.
No, I mean, I just, you know, for me, seeing them during the anthem, walking in and out of the ramp, in the corner there, hearing them call us, back to back, they were saying, and we're going to repeat and things like that. That's what sticks out the most to me.
Ramona, it seemed to me the Lakers didn't win. Jaylen Brown had a huge game. The Lakers are dealing with a lot of injuries, so they came up short. They made a furious comeback at the end of the game. But it seems to me that the fans, for the most part, figured out the rules, and it went without any problems. Did you have the same impression?
Yeah, I thought it went really well. I mean, it'll take a little bit. You know, it's going to be a different group all the time. They're sticking with 2,000 fans initially. It was about 2,000 fans there. If this is kind of a trial run, because they're approved to have more than that, but they want to iron out all the issues or any, you know, the logistics for a few games here. So I think just this homestand, it's going to be 2,000. After this homestand, they may actually allow more fans as we go on here, John. I think this is really important, not just for our city and our for people to feel the sense of normalcy. Like, I was talking to one lady yesterday, John. She said, I don't even mind that there's traffic, okay? Because it means that people are getting back to games, getting back to work.
Yeah, strangely, I was on the 405 the other day. Strangely, you're rooting for traffic.
Yeah.
Because it means that we're getting some normalcy. Okay, David Locke is the play-by-play announcer, radio play-by-play announcer for the Utah Jazz. He has my job for the Jazz. David and I have known each other for many, many years. He also has his own podcast network, which we'll talk about in a second. And he's nice enough to join us now. David just got done calling a game. The Jazz beat the Pacers, but David, that's not the big story. Donovan Mitchell twisted an ankle. We've heard various reports that it may not be too serious. What do you know about Mitchell's ankle?
So I probably don't know a lot more than, you do, frankly, at this point in this world that we live in this year.
Right.
Donovan was throwing up with Mike Conley had just turned it over. There was a quick kind of, change, and they were throwing an outlet pass. Donovan jumped high to try to block that outlet pass. A player was on the ground below him, so he had to come down awkwardly he landed and turned his right ankle as he came down. Quite frankly, the first time I saw the replay, I thought that that had caused him in an awkward fashion that had me pretty concerned. I think all of us are traumatized by Jamal Murray this week, and so sure. The first reaction of everyone was really, really significant. It does seem like he has a significant right ankle sprain, but they both had to report low rather than high, and you all know that that's a significant difference. So, and Don issues early in his career, his rookie year, he's actually got monster feet. So the big joke, like, around Donovan is that he's actually 6'7". His body just forgot to grow. And right. His arms are 6'7". His feet are 6'7". Thing about him 6'7", it's everybody forgot to grow. And so he, earlier in his career.
Hey, I'm just wondering how the team and the whole building there reacted to Donovan's injury. Like, they obviously finished out the game and won. So they a lot of times when you see something like that, people are crestfallen. But it seems like they're all hanging in there at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction from the team was let's beep and go, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you see that a lot, right? Like, the players get, somebody gets hurt, it's like, all right, we better go. Like, we were playing this game as though it was a 1 o'clock shootout instead of a 1 o'clock game that counted. You know, they really were walking through the motions. They were pretty dreadful for the first 24 minutes of this game, down 17 at one point. And then they started to come back in the end of the first half, made two stupid plays, were back down 11. And then Donovan's injury happened. They were down 9. But yeah, then like there was one play in particular where, like, you know, kind of Juwan Morgan, who nobody's ever heard of outside of Utah, makes a play, and Jordan Clark's like pounding him on the chest. You've got to see, like, if the group's got this energy going. So from an internal standpoint of the team, we're like, we better step up or we're going to get run. The arena certainly was hushed, but I don't think the hush is quite as obvious in the COVID world as it was, you know, pre. It wasn't 19,000 hushing, it was 5,000 hushing.
David Locke is with us. He has my job with the Jazz. He's their radio play-by-play guy. All right, David, let's look ahead to tomorrow. Do you think, I'm going to assume, and correct me if you disagree, but I'm going to assume Mitchell is probably not going to play in these games, in these two Laker games, Saturday and Monday. If that's the case, does Clarkson, who I think is going to win Sixth Man of the Year, go into the starting lineup, or do you think Quinn Snyder does something different?
I think Joe Ingles goes into the starting lineup. We should win Sixth Man of the Year. So I might not vote for Jordan Clarkson. I might vote for Joe Ingles. He's having a historic shooting season, which I still think the league doesn't quite understand the value of what that player does to the game. But Joe's the first player in the history of the NBA to ever take over 4 threes a game and be making 50%.
Good for him.
And that, like, 50% is 1.5 points per shot. Like, it really changes games when he goes and does that for a night, and he did it again today. So I would actually think Joe Ingles will step in the starting lineup. The complicated part for the Jazz will be that their two point guards then are Mike Conley and Joe Ingles. They have to separate them pretty quickly to be able to get them on the floor at different times for the rest of the night. The interesting one, and I think Frank Vogel actually probably deserves a lot of Coach of the Year votes for the work that he's doing to the defense right now, not to take it away from my good friend Quinn Snyder, but the interesting one for the Jazz is their two best pick and roll combinations are Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert. Both those pick and roll combos are actually better than Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Wow.
So the offense won't disappear. It just loses that isolation driver player. That's what Jordans do for them in the other portions of the game. And then, you know, the other part for the Jazz is, as long as Rudy's still on the floor, they're all right.
So the Jazz hit a little rough spot in the middle of the season. They're right around the All-Star break right afterward. But it seems like they've stabilized things. What was it that they had to clean up and where they got back to how they were winning before?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they now are winning at 70% instead of at 93.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it was like everyone kept asking me, like, is this sustainable? And I was like, this is the stupidest question I've ever been asked. They've won 23 of 24 games. No, it's not sustainable. Like, they don't have Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West on the same team. Like, it's not, like, they're not going 70-2. I mean, I think they came down, you know, they lost two ball games on the road to really, really good teams, Phoenix and Dallas. And then they had two terrible games out of the All-Star break against Washington and Golden State. You know, I think teams are getting tired. I think they lost their zest a little bit. Quinn Snyder's teams are never very good off a layoff, which will be interesting for them if they get the number one seed, because the way I'm looking at the schedules, I think they'll have a week off. So, whatever reason, Quinn's teams are not great to start season, but they're not great to come out of All-Star break. And that was the case this year as well. And they did lose, well, you're right, I think they lost, what, 2-5 or 3-5 on that road trip.
Yeah.
They lost to Philadelphia in overtime on the road. Like,
yeah.
Not too worried about it.
David Locke is our guest, and one of the things David has is a podcast network, and part of that podcast network is a podcast called Locked on Lakers. For people who aren't familiar with that, David, tell them about it.
We have a daily podcast for every professional sports team and most colleges. We don't have USC and UCLA yet. So Locked on Lakers is Anthony Irwin, and then two guys you know well, Brian and Andy, have joined them.
The
so
Kamenetskis, yeah, we love them.
Hanging out with Anthony now on Locked on Lakers. I'm sure you do. They're wonderful guys. And then we also we have just a daily podcast, 25-minute, short, quick-hitting on your favorite team, whatever it might be, in whatever sport. And it's been a fun project to be working on for the last 5 years. Worked out okay.
And, David, can you tell Andy and Brian apart yet?
I have not had to. That might be the bigger trick. Can you make sure you never need to?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I
like can tell them apart by their voice. I can.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what? You just learned the perfect. This is how they're both friends of ours. Okay, so I can say this with love. Okay, but you don't need to know. It's the Cam brothers. It's like they're interchangeable. It's Andy or it's Brian. I used to know Brian was the bald one and Andy had some hair, but now Andy's kind of, you know, just hanging on there. He might be a little more, I don't know.
Yeah, that comp doesn't work anymore. Yeah. But David, I love the pod and those guys do a great job, and it'll be interesting that because I think the Jazz are would love to have that number one seed.
Yeah.
I think that would be valuable to them. So in a sense, these games, these two games tomorrow and Monday, are as important to the Jazz as they are for the Lakers. The Lakers are trying to stay out of the play-in tournament. I think everybody looks at those as, well, the Jazz could probably afford to blow a couple of games. I'm guessing that's not the way Quinn's looking at it, right?
Well, I also think, so 100%, I think the one seed's really, really important for a few reasons. One is the 8 seed will have had to play two games.
Right.
By the time they play the one seed. Like, that's a big, they'll be in their third, in all likelihood, they're in their third city with
right.
almost no prep time. Like, and this is going to be such a bloodbath in the West that if you can sneak through the first round in five because the other team's exhausted, that's going to be a mammoth game changer. I believe, well, it's a little different now with Denver, but I don't think they're going quietly in tonight. I think that's still quite
either.
A decent.
Yeah.
I think there were five great teams. The Jazz and the Suns are ahead of the other three because they've been healthier. They've avoided COVID, and they deserve credit for that. But they have not had injuries. They've had most of their guys every night, so their records are better. But there are five elite teams in the West, and Denver might be a little bit. And then there are four unguardable players: Zion, Steph, Luka, and Dame. So this is going to be a bloodbath. And wouldn't it be nice to just be the fifth seed in the East to get to play the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, it's a great
but
point.
That's not the world we live in, right? Like, I think the problem with two is you could get Luka.
Yeah.
Like, I would take Dallas as the seventh seed over anyone who's the two seed. Because I'm not sure I think Luka's ready to lose in the first round series right now.
Yeah.
Right. And, yeah, he's been great.
And Dallas is a team. I'm with you on this one. I do not, if I'm the two seed, whoever it is, it's probably going to be the Suns, but it could be the Jazz if they slip here with Donovan. I don't know how long Donovan's going to be out, but, you know, could be. But I don't want to see Dallas, do you? I mean,
And Carlisle's a great coach, David, and he gave the Clippers fits last year. And you're right about Luka. I think Luka is on a different level. And every year he gets more experience, the more dangerous he gets. take. We got to run, man. I would say I would look forward to seeing you tomorrow, but as we both know, those days are over for now with COVID. We call these games from where we live. But thank you very much for coming on, especially right after a game, man. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and I would love to hear your debates. Which team you think's better in your city?
Well, I'm a Laker guy, but let's watch this game tonight. It looks like they're gonna tank it. Kawhi's out. Paul George is a game time decision. But as I've said to you privately, David, if we have a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD, I'll take us against anybody, even if we're the eight.
Way to go out on a redwood tree limb there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
I like Locke with the hot takes right there. This is why David, you have such a successful podcast network.
David, as you learned today, health is fleeting. You know, man, Donovan Mitchell, I had you and I were I emailed you this week about All-NBA, and you and I both had Donovan All-NBA this year on either the second or the third team. So, and now, how bad is that ankle sprain? So it's all fluid. Who knows? Let's see what it looks like when we get there. All right, man. Be safe. Talk soon.
Keep up the great work, Ramona. Nice to chat with you.
You too.
There's David Locke. All right, time for Game of Games, sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're my plumber. They want to be yours too. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. Okay, it is my game today. Lindsay, Jorge, and Ramona competing. All right, guys, this is a nickname game. I'm going to give you the nickname of a very famous sports figure. Your name is your buzzer. If nobody buzzes in, I'll give you clues about the player. And to help you get it, here we go. All right, the first nickname.
All right.
The Big Ticket.
Momo. Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett is correct. All right. Number two. Johnny Football.
Momo.
Lindsay.
I'm first. Come on.
I'm going to give that first to Lindsay.
No. Oh, maybe that's a delay because she's on Comrex. Okay. All right.
Lindsay, who is it?
There's no way
Johnny
she was first.
Johnny Manziel.
You're being nice because she's from Cleveland. Okay.
All right.
That's your Cleveland guy who didn't work out.
Number three. You alive over there, Jorge?
Yeah.
All right. This one's for you. The Golden Boy.
Momo.
Momo.
Oscar De La Hoya. I'm quick.
Oh, man.
I'm quick when I'm in studio.
All right. Yep,
no delay.
There is no delay. Okay. Next up, the big unit.
Momo. Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
He's up 3-1.
Man, and I'm doing good in this. I better not screw it up.
All right. The next one. All day.
Oh, wait.
All right, nobody's got it. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Football player, running back, made most of his yards in Minnesota.
Jorge.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, that's right. That's good.
Ramona 3. Jorge 1. Lindsay 1. Next up, the glove.
Momo. Gary Payton.
Payton.
Hey,
Ramona.
Do you know his son? His nickname is Mitten. Gary Payton Jr.
All right.
That's so good.
Next one. The answer.
Momo.
Momo.
Allen Iverson.
Jeez. Ramona's.
Man, this is good.
This
I've never had a lead like this.
I know. I wonder if you'll screw it up. All right, next up. Big Poppy.
Jorge.
Oh, too fast.
David
Ortiz.
There you go. I threw Ramona off.
With that pause. It was like a pitcher. You're like Hideo Nomo out there with
the big up. Fundamental.
Momo. That's Tim Duncan.
That is Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
All right, this thing's over. We'll play the last two just for fun.
All right.
You want me to throw them? I'll throw them to Jorge.
This one I put in specifically for you, Ramona.
Okay.
You're a big favorite here.
Okay.
Mad Dog.
Momo. That's Mark Madsen.
Mark Madsen
from Stanford.
And the last one, MJD.
Momo.
Lindsay.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Wow,
boom.
Ramona Shelburne.
Oh, my gosh. How did you?
8-2-1.
And I should have had that Johnny Manziel one.
And you guys say there's no advantage of being in studio.
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lindsay, if you ever want to make a federal case out of that, you play this tape as your example.
Yeah.
I plan to someday. Yeah.
Did you know all those? You just slow on the delay?
I would say I knew like six of them.
Is that a backhanded topic? Do you know all those, but you were just stupid?
No, you're just slow on the buzzing. I'm just in studio because I don't have a delay. I'm right on the money.
Coming up next.
Oh, wait, can I get some music for that? Like, give me some, like.
Yeah, you get a ticking clock.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Sedano,
I need some celebration.
LZ and Cap. Thank you, Ramona,
for coming in.
Michael and I tomorrow, 1:30, Utah Lakers from Staples, 710 ESPN.